camera on this photo, and then Southwest 11th, you can see with the streetcar tracks. And then you see at the end of the block, that's the start of the PSU campus. So this is a pretty great pedestrian area with great proximity to PSU. So the issues that we identified that we'd love to hear your thoughts on would be materials and facade articulation, the ground floor active use. The site plan has been updated somewhat in the version that you have in front of you, but we are interested in hearing your thoughts on how to best kind of address all of the programming needs that need to happen here, especially with the amount of bike storage that needs to happen for this many units, or needs is required for this many units, and how to really activate that that street frontage, especially on in a pedestrian district on a streetcar line. Floor heights. Staff had noticed that the floor, the ground floor height was a little compressed and maybe could reflect some of the adjacent buildings and some of the datums that are coming in from those buildings. There is a quite a slope to the site on both frontages, so there, the applicant is kind of contending with a lot of height constrictions, I guess, at the ground floor. And then, as I mentioned, the location of the loading and then the configuration of the loading. The applicant will speak to this a bit, but they have some very unique loading needs because it is primarily a student housing facility. Most of the loading and will happen in just a few weeks out of the year. And so it will be very intensive loading needs, but for, you know, not necessarily throughout the year. So how, you know, we're interested in ways that we could address that. And then outdoor amenity space. There are guidelines that speak to addressing the street. Staff is interested and appreciates that this applicant has, like all of the other quarter block developments on this block, has a rooftop terrace at the center of the block. So that's continuing something that a trend that's already been established. And but we're wondering if there's an opportunity to also bring some of that outdoor amenity space out to the street facade. Do you have any questions for me?
Nope, I don't. Anybody else?
Nope.
Guess
no
not.
Questions.
Right. You're so complete.
Yeah.
In this information, we did not need to ask you anything. Thank you for that. All right, gentlemen, you have about 20 minutes.
Okay. My name's Ben Wood. I'm with Mainland Northwest. We're the developer for the owner, which is College Housing Northwest, a nonprofit student housing provider. I just wanted to take a quick minute before I let them take over. So College Housing Northwest is a nonprofit student housing provider, has a number of properties in the serving PSU, and has the mission of providing affordability in their student housing. We did take a look initially at trying to retrofit the existing buildings and do seismic upgrades, and it was just incredibly cost prohibitive to do it, so we moved to this as an alternative. To push our mission to make sure we're providing as many affordable units as we can. The other piece of that, as you saw, we have essentially what are micro units to create affordability for students with kitchenettes in them and then the common kitchens in the building. And that's a nod to the preference of students for their own space, but to keep it small to make it affordable. And I'll hand it
over. So just one question for you. Are there no cooking facilities, little kitchens in those units then?
There are kitchenettes.
Okay.
So there's a microwave, and they can have a hot plate, but there's not an actual, nothing that qualifies as a full kitchen.
Okay. I was just curious.
Were you also the developer of the project at the south and adjacent TriMet terminus?
No.
No.
It was another firm.
This is different. Different project. Different firm.
Different firm. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I would also like to invite my project architect to join me. I'm Gauri Rajwede from Sarah Architects, and it's a huge honor to present to you, and I'm really, really looking forward to getting your feedback. This is my first DAR, so I'm super excited, and Kurt has been mentoring me through this. So it's a wonderful time.
So, Josh Lepkin, also with Sarah Architects, project manager and project architect.
So with that, I will start. So I came to this country as an international student, and I have basically spent a lot of my life here in student housing. starting from high school all the way until, you know, finishing up grad school in architecture, which took me a pretty circuitous path to go there. So, you know, being able to design a student housing was very kind of a privilege, and was also important because I understand some of the, for someone who, you know, really is building community within the student housing, how does that function? You know, how does that, how can I articulate that, and how can that be expressed in the building and sort of given back to the city sort of as an ornament to the building? And so that's kind of the thinking I had as I was going through, and I will present that as I move along with the design process here. So this is the view from the south side, south east corner. We took out the Benson Tower, otherwise it'll completely hide the building. So the church is up on the south side, and the there's the 12th and the Cameron on the 12th side, and then the Marche, 11th and Marche on the other side, 8-story and 6-story buildings. This is the general massing currently. And the building on the 12th and Market is also going up. That's about 11th story. This is the view at the street level. One of the things I'm looking at is to how to create like seating areas within the design itself for students to hang out, or if the retail, if it ends up becoming retail, how that can be activated in that terms. And we probably will come back to this again. Real quick, again, the context, you know, Hannah already presented quite a bit, but, you know, in the aerial view previously shown, we didn't have some of the major buildings that have been building, that have already been built or are going up right now. And so just the context here, we have 27-story tall Benson Tower, pretty huge and very particular facade material. We've got the Rochester Tower, which has a very stark sort of a material going on. Cameron with some brick and stucco, Marche, and 12. So there's, like Hannah mentioned, a lot of different types of materials, masonry being one of the major ones in the context. So some more examples of the, you know, the buildings. I've spent a lot of time here just trying to see what the datums are, what the what tends to happen. So the things I picked up on is the Safeway building that has the housing up top and then commercial at the further below, and looking at how they mask their windows. And then the new building that's going up, which is really more looking like somewhat of a punched window, but it's not quite that way because it's sort of flat against what seems like almost like a some sort of a high-end fiber cement panel. And then further down the road, there's also brick and metal panel building as well. And then we have this beautiful church that has all these thin articulation of just beautiful woodwork and detailing. And then we have the Benson Tower. So just the context. And so the precedents I looked at is based on looking at a lighter facade material. I looked at, you know, what are some of the things that have gone around the world also. And the one building that I also really admire in terms of the articulation of a lot of the housing units is the one that Holsted, the 937 building. I don't know if there's a name for that, but I just like the, just for the massiveness of it and just how honest it is in terms of just expressing the program. I really like that. And I know like the building that I'm looking at is also fairly massive. And, you know, what I want to do is really express the program. And I would love to hear your feedback on that. And so one of the things I did when I looked at this is, okay, so I've got 16 stories of stacked units of studios. That's just what it is. It's the program. So thinking about, again, going back to how I lived in a student housing, there's always, you know, your unit is your unit, you know, but the memories you create and the dynamics you build with other friends are in those kitchens where you break bread and where you maybe share some notes, study together. And so thought about like how these blocks kind of come together and maybe create a destination within blocks of, you know, 2-3 floors, and how those could be combined to create like a community pod. And how that, because, you know, if it were like a sprawled building, that would be a different thing because it's going up high, then maybe can we create a rhythm that would be, you know, then that would provide that easy facilitation of almost like 2-3 floors of a clubhouse, sort of. And so looking at that, what I am looking at is then to kind of combine two floors to create a 2-story floor kitchen and common reading room area with a connection in between, and I'll show that in some further in the diagram as well. And then bringing some of that same element of how that activation happens in the street, you know, and then connecting some of the materiality to kind of really rise up to unify some of those active spaces. And again, going back to then taking that idea and really understanding exactly the program, the housing, there it basically has blocks of housing at the back, service core areas, and then the you know, circulation. And then really trying to express that, being very honest about it, and looking to use proportions and just how I break up the proportions to express that. And another thing being aware of is also the contrasting two buildings to the side and how I might be able to catch the datum from one side to the other. Both have a very different proportions and completely different articulation. One has more of a vertical, the Marché has a more of a vertical system going, and then Cameron has more of a horizontal piece kind of going. So that's another tension that I'm looking at. Early on, I started articulating sort of what is the sense I want to get for with this community room. It's almost like these lanterns of, you know, pieces going up the building, so when it lights up in the evening, it sort of really enhances that, tells that story. And similar thing of like creating the ground floor active space where, you know, maybe part of the design element can come out and that provides natural seating areas, and part of it also provides canopy to enhance the added canopy. So some of the thoughts of, you know, how these elements would go. And then taking it even further, now looking at, you know, in the overall building massing, what can happen? You know, these are the highlighted areas. How can these be framed? And then I started looking at the overall building articulation and massing, and some, you know, looking at the very far left one, too regular, maybe didn't really express what I was thinking. And then really started looking at, okay, this is the part that I was really trying to express, but it gets alternated with some of the housing units. And this one, it seemed like, again, it looked at the proportions of breaking the massing, but didn't necessarily enhance the corners. And this one, I started liking where the movements are going, but then also started looking like it was a little too arbitrary and was kind of going away from that, my motivation to be more honest about the program. And then I looked at regular, you know, sort of window opening patterns. And then also another thing I wanted to kind of look at is are there ways to connect these studios also? Because I'm, you know, looking at these ideas of connections and, you know, massing of windows, just like that Safeway building had. So then started looking at some of these other options as I started developing. And then started doing more of a refined proportions and, okay, how can this happen? How can some of the window articulation up top can translate to how these things are articulated at the bottom. So there's some sort of a harmony and unity happening. So far left here, looking at more of a regular punched window, and then started playing with some of those connected pieces. So then that can harken back to this, where it starts to then even out with the pattern of expressing the common areas in the corner of the building, really enhancing that corner. And so that's sort of where I settled. But again, and another thing I'm also sort of looking at in these iterations is how do I terminate the building? That's another thing, you know, and I would love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, I did a lot of different studies of, you know, maybe it goes this way, maybe it goes this way, maybe it goes this way. And then really simplifying it further, I'm kind of going at as at the final elevation you will see, which is a much more simplified piece. Real quick, you know, so the plan you have previously that we submitted that Hannah showed had a much more constrained retail space, and with the feedback that we got from PBOT that they do want us to provide a loading and they do want us to consider putting that on 11th, and so we revisited that and enhanced our retail space much further and provided the loading, and would love to hear your thoughts and, you know, feedback on how we can strongly improve upon what we've got going here. The lobby area is something that we need for the you know, current situation, but, you know, I see this as a potential of later down the road, if the building changes its purpose or something, that can be utilized as a further retail space as well. Just generally going to the second floor, Hannah mentioned about the community gathering. So one of the things we're trying to do in the program is, I know there are these common rooms, but in addition to the common room, there's a major, bigger kitchen space. There's a game and laundry room where they can really have a bigger community that really spills out. So there's this another articulation of really supporting the students. And going further, this is the community room that I was talking about. So this is a double-story height building, corner of the building that is connected right about here between the two floors. The studios sort of flank that particular gem right here, so they can, you know, this provides like a destination between the floors up above, floor below, and the floors that these are located. And here's this open portion that connects those two floors. And then we also have some one bedrooms and two bedrooms in the corner that alternates, that gives that articulation of the building. So part of the thing is it's almost like kind of wrapping the hands wrapping, you know, and then the community space pods are almost like the corners of that. And this, we are providing an eco roof as a you know, sort of the nicer roof system for the city. And going back to the more of the elevation here. So one of the things, you know, when I talked with Hannah, she expressed the concern of really pinched ground floor. So we really took that to heart. And what we did is we elevated that to 14. And again, like the site slopes really intensely. And what, you know, that really causes some of the difficulties. But right now, what we've got going is with the 14 floor to floor at the ground level, there's like 2 foot here. So we actually get this corner, we get quite a bit of height. And right now, currently, we're sitting at about close to 10.7, 10.9 on this end. And over on this end, maybe I shouldn't have touched that. over on this end, we're almost close to about 11 foot tall on the shortest end. And so I really like that suggestion that Hannah had, like to really open up the, you know, lift the ground floor up, and so we're going to keep that, but I would love to hear more of your thoughts as well. Another thing we also did is to kind of raise the second floor also to 11'9". So, you know, that bigger common kitchen area and the game room really has that little bit of that breathing space for the bigger gathering. And this is sort of the articulation of the common area that alternates, so that, you know, this can be accessed by this floor, and that floor, and here on becomes like this destination, almost this like network, and going to these corner pieces that gets activated. And so on the back side, using the similar kind of a window system pattern, and this is the second, the common terrace area, outdoor terrace area, and the second floor. And this is just the other view where the game room opens up with this almost like this garage door style, where it opens up and could really connect the game room and you know, and then the courtyard out to the next to it. Here's a quick section of how these studios are sort of stacked. It's really program heavy, you know, and that's one of the things I wanted to also be very honest about what this building is. The units are expressing the units, and another thing. That I really took from walking around the site is the sort of the window depths. That's a lot of the masonry building create the depth, the capturing the shadow, the articulation, the indentation. And so what we're doing with our facade system is to try to really capture that. And we have right where the window is, you know, where the glazing actually goes, we'll probably gain some more inches here. So overall, right to the frame is about 7.5 inches. We are also creating a little bit of a box outside. And where the glazing goes, we probably could go almost up to about 8 inches or more. And so even where this fiber cement sort of insets over here, this other material insets here, we're creating yet another depth. So there's like a layered depth happening in the facade. So there's that particular articulation. And here's expressing that same concept in section here, quick detail in the section. And so some of the materials that we're looking at are, you know, vinyl windows, the open storefront system that really opens up the ground floor at the ground level. And we're looking at some high density fiber cement type like Silbonnet or Ecotone type materials that seem to have much more longevity to the material. So with that, I would like to really open up to your comments and give me some feedback and make this design stronger for us. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. So I think I'd like to do a repeat of the process we just used. It seemed to be a little more clear and easier to navigate. So maybe just kind of related to Hannah's comments and the guidelines, what issues do you have, and we can kind of group those and then have a discussion about that. But kind of concerns and observations, compliments, too.
You know. Party walls.
Huh?
Party walls, party. Well, you know, the walls that we're going to see above what is already built.
Mm-hmm. So the south and west walls?
South.
Oh, I see.
The south we see, the south is completely designed. It's the north. Is it south?
Mm-hmm. So this is on the northeast corner.
South and west.
Yeah. South and west.
You mean this face right here, the one that we're not seeing over here,
yes.
And then
yes.
Yeah. That okay. Block is built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What do you see above the? Is that the Marché?
Yeah. On one side there's Marché, and the other side there's Cameron, and yeah.
So from the, their mm-hmm. roofs up to the top, what we're seeing is.
Do we have
an architectural design to other existing buildings?
Context, you mean?
No. The,
not context?
Not context. Well, that too, yes, context, but also similar in design to the one over at PSU.
Oh.
And what other one? The one on... Was it yours? Yours have a slip grid thing on 14th and Gleason?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's one on Taylor, 15th.
Yeah, 15th and Taylor. So the similarity. I listed the guidelines if you want me to roll through them.
Sure, if you want to. I was just going to say maybe in... yeah, that's fine.
Because I didn't write down what they were.
Sure.
I just wrote, you know, A2, A5, A6, A8, B2, B7, C2, C3, C4, C5.
I don't have those memorized, so it might be.
I've got a cheat sheet.
Thank you.
There's a cheat sheet in the packet from Hannah.
Yeah, there's one in the package.
Okay. Yours might match hers.
A2 is emphasize important themes. A5, enhance, embellish, and identify areas. A6 is reuse, rehabilitate, restore buildings. A8, contribute to a vibrant streetscape. B2, protect the pedestrian. B7, integrate barrier-free design. Both of those Bs have to do with the columns, the concrete columns. C2, promote quality and permanence in development. C3, respect architectural integrity. C4, complement the context of existing buildings. And C5, design for coherence.
Okay.
Are we going around in a circle?
Now, one question I had was that you have that courtyard in the center, and the other three buildings on the block also have courtyards in the center. Are they all at different heights?
Yeah.
The Cameron is at grade. The Marché is at level 2.
Yep.
And you know what the new building that's going up is at?
That one, I don't know. I think that...
So they're all...
Yeah, they're all...
They're all in the center, and there's a nice area in the center. They're all at different heights.
Yeah.
I think they're all within one story of each other.
Really?
The two that are built, they're not at the same story.
Yeah. Oh,
that's interesting.
So they don't correlate with each other at all, which would be kind of nice if they
did. It would have been, yes.
All these buildings were built in the last 3 years, you know.
Yep.
If people coordinated, you could have done one sort of loading...
Well, Don,
all it's hard to do.
They're all done by the same architect.
They're all done by the same architect.
Right.
Anyway, it's a shame that wasn't done.
It would have been good.
Why did you guys decide not to do any rooftop amenity space?
Part of it is restricted by the height limit, and I'll let Josh.
Yeah, a big part of it is just the program of our client. They don't like high amenity spaces that are open to falling. These are college students, and they have some concerns related to that.
College students fall more than any other students, right, I think.
Right. Keep them grounded.
Well,
I have one of those. Don't joke around.
Well, I was just referring to C8. And Sarah has a tendency to do this. You throw out these great precedent ones, mm-hmm. which are really handsome buildings, mm-hmm. and then you give us something that is not nearly as interesting. And how do we get from your precedent to what you're actually presenting? There's a big gap there. And then material-wise also, everything's brick on the block, and you're proposing to go with concrete fiber panels. Any reason you're not working with some of the rest of the media on the material on the block, the materiality?
So part of the thing we were, because of the, again, I'm open to suggestions, and a part of the logic behind it, at least in my opinion, was that because of the massiveness of the building, we're wanting to make it a little lighter, and it seemed like the fiber cement type material would provide, lend that sort of a lightness to the building. But that said, you know, I'm interested to hear all the thoughts.
Sam, what comments?
I kind of want to. So the AR, right?
This, mm-hmm.
So I mean, and this is kind of a little bit of the discussion we were having before. I mean, so there's so much more information here than the DAR. So I want to go back to your sketches, to your vignettes. You know, I think the vignettes are pretty powerful. Some of them, I think they're really, the mm-hmm. concepts are great. The translation, I'm not sure, is quite there. So
where should I go?
Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying that I think there's a lot of great ideas in these vignettes, and there's a lot of great, you know, massing ideas, mm-hmm. and articulation ideas, and I just don't think it translates well to where you are right now.
Yeah. Maybe I simplified it maybe a little too much.
No, I don't think it's a simplification. I think actually it's the other way around. I think you try to complicate it more rather than be sort of. I mean, you kept on saying being true to. I mean, being honest about what it is, honest about the units. I mean, and frankly, the punch opening seems to be a much more honest approach to me than trying to create this illusion of double heights. And although you do have the double heights, and there, there you're breaking it up so it doesn't feel like it's a double height, which is where you are in these vignettes, generally speaking. And I understand that you probably can't afford a curtain wall system, which, you know, for these double height spaces because it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. But there's ways to rather than having that sort of brown color panel. I mean, there's ways to make that window system look like a consistent, you know, glazed element. The size of them. I mean, I think there's ways to do that. So it harkens back to what you're trying to do over here, and I think in pushing it forward and trying to provide us with all this information, there's a lot of stuff that just got lost for me.
I agree. Yeah, I think there's a lot more interest and energy in all the sketches, and at some point it just started kind of every iteration, it just started kind of losing its source, which... You know, Don brought up, we see this a lot, is that the mm-hmm. precedents that people show somehow don't find their way into the architecture. Mm-hmm. So show us precedents that actually are reflected in the design or reflect the precedents, whichever way you do that.
But your precedents, for the most part.
The precedents are fantastic.
They're great.
Cutting away.
Yeah, there's like
the
voids.
Yeah. Which might be a nice way to take a look at this thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there were two-story spaces on the corner.
Yeah,
I think the other issue. I mean, I think the building is very tall, and yes, I gather the 15 feet that you're trying to, you know, you're playing with a lot of slope. Mm-hmm. But I think there's ways that you can integrate the second floor into that base, rather than and create a much more substantial base that's proportional to the height of your building. Which, and again, it's not that you're changing your program. You're not putting. It's just how you treat that second floor. I think could be very. Could give you that base that your that the building sorely needs, and starts to where's my there is and starts to you know not match but at least you know work with the with your context with your buildings next door.
This one I think this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know I'd like to see where this one went if it was refined. It's a little. It's you know a very conceptual approach, but this one is pretty good.
I'm going to chime in here because I have I want to support Sam's proposition that the life of the project really lives well in these sketches, and then it becomes more serious as it evolves as a piece of architecture. And it would be great if it had the energy and the passion that are in the sketches. And I'm worried, Tad, that looking at this and then thinking about what that means when it really does become
physical.
A drawing on that reflects more the final elevations that we're looking at today. It's pretty static. It really doesn't have the energy that that I think we want it to have. And.
Well, go ahead. No.
So for me, you know, I love the double volumes at the corner. They don't read very clearly, and I think that's because they're being wrapped. They're not being expressed volumetrically.
Okay.
And all of the precedent images are fantastic. Sarah always has great precedent images. All of these are playing with volume. They're playing with the actual form of the building in a way that you know you're dealing in inches when you need to be dealing in feet.
Yeah.
With the work that you're doing. So, you know, as much as I love these sketches, I don't see them translating into the building that we want it to be at
when
that
I think
corner.
That has a lot of glass to me. And that's what I'm reading. And so,
yeah, but see, right. Yeah, really, it doesn't. I mean, this is not glass.
That's
what
I'm saying. I'm reading it that way, and that's what would make it successful. And
this is
I don't
blue
know if you
and
have
pretty.
The budget
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, once I sketched it, this is really wanting to be more like, you know, I mean, with the proportion and everything, the one of the buildings I really admire is the Lover House in Bayas. But that's all glass volume, right? And so I realized that's probably what, you know.
Can you go to C15, though? This the C15? Page C15. It's the black and white. Go back one.
There.
I kind of see this happening more. I mean, it's a little bit more. It's a punched opening. It's kind of really. I mean, a bit more glass, a little less glass. I don't know, but I think. I think this is. These are the two bedroom units.
Yeah, two bedroom. One bedroom.
These ones are.
Yeah.
I. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
To me.
Well, it may be too sensible, though. I'm not sure.
Well, it's very sensible.
I mean, it's interesting to see something when it's rendered in different ways, how that changes how people perceive it and interpret it, and because. Anyway, go ahead, Jessica. You were going to say something.
So, first of all, I really appreciate your enthusiasm. And the fact that you brought your process drawings.
Yeah, fantastic.
Incredibly helpful. For me, I like this as a drawing, but I'm not sure that I would like it as a building, which is a kind of thing what you're saying. And for me also, one of my primary concerns is that a building with a lot of detail, scale, texture, it's really adding to the fabric of its context, that the building that replaces it needs to do that equally. Whether it's in a modern design or a traditional, however it does it, it needs to be comparable to what you're taking away. And it doesn't do that right now.
So if I may ask on that clarifying question, what are some of the elements would you suggest? You know, carving away is one of the things that I heard.
Carving away would help. Honestly, I think depending on what your design ends up being, if it's similar to one of the ones that you have now, then it's going to rely a lot on detail. Mm-hmm. And articulation. Mm-hmm. Balconies would help. I don't know if that's in your... I know we don't talk about budget, but...
Yeah.
Something to add scale to the building.
But hey, Sarah's got the best precedent images in town.
It, does one person choose all these precedents?
You guys got the best library in town. I mean, can't you sort of go back there and pull some stuff out that you can actually use in the building? I mean, they're great images, but again, they don't get reflected in what's being presented. But
Andrew, you have some.
I think.
Do you have some more, Don? Sorry.
Can you go back to the sketch?
Basically, peel the skin off.
Go back one sketch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don's not quite done yet.
No, I think you got to peel the skin off and start over with the composition.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
I agree with where you're going with this, but go back again. I think it's the other sketch. I like the simplification, and if you could, I know you said maybe it's a budget thing. It can just be an all-glazed box. Maybe you go back and talk to the developer about that, because 263 units, limited fixture counts, there's a lot of things that you're not putting into a building that you could probably put into the exterior. And I think simplifying the exterior and creating that box that you wanted to go for is something that I would support, especially on the corner right here. And I think that's really... right now, my only complaint is just simplifying the massing of the building.
Right.
So I would add the revisions that you've made recently to the ground floor program are great. There's a lot more retail at that corner. Fantastic response to both the ground floor guidelines and the corner guideline. The entry sequence into the apartments, it gets lost. It doesn't have any architectural presence at the ground floor. That needs to be pumped up. It needs to be really clear. When looking at the elevation as it's drawn today, the entry is just a couple of doors in the storefront, and it's not obvious that that is the main entry to, more than 200 units. So that should receive more attention.
And what about the concrete columns at the first floor?
We have problems with those.
Yeah.
And they're out of place with those.
Yeah, they don't really seem to be in any way married to the building.
Right.
They're just on one side of the building on the... Have you maxed out your height on the building?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't increase the retail level at all. Huh?
Yeah, I think for me that's a problem, the height of it's
short.
Just way too low.
It's very short.
Proportionally,
scale with the rest of the building.
Yeah, it's 14 at the... from floor to floor at the corner, but it in each direction it goes uphill, so it just diminishes that height as it goes west and south.
It seems like it needs at least 2 more feet.
Yeah, I mean, most of this under quality and permanence for me, it just seems like everything has been shaved down to kind of a minimalist level, and I don't mean that minimalist in terms of design expression, but in terms of the materials and just the... And quality and permanence relates to materials, but also relates to design principles. And the design principles are kind of watered down also. And so I think that based on what Sam started that discussion, that focusing on those two will solve a lot of problems that with the thing. And for me, the other thing is the first floor height, I think. And the columns are kind of foreign. There's no real relationship between why they're there and what they do for the building relative to the first floor and or the upper floor. So, and then, Tad, you mentioned the party walls. I think that's just part of the whole kind of re-looking at the skin. I mean, you're taking down a building that is really a very, very cool building. I mean, it's really interesting.
It's an amazing building.
It's the only one like it in town. And in and of itself is very unfortunate. But but if you're going to do that, and then it seems to me you have a sense of responsibility to put back something that adds to the environment in a way as richly as that one does, perhaps. And can you do that? Does that mean there's more brick on it? Does it mean there's more in and outs? What is that you're trading off? And I don't mean literally every square foot has to replicate that in terms of percentages of decks and all that. But is there something in terms of the richness that can be on that site still with your building? So, what other things?
I want to clarify the the views to the party walls or to the adjoining walls should be taken from an approach showing the existing condition.
Yeah.
So that we see what we would see. You know, that Clay is a main gateway entry off the freeway into downtown. And so it's quite a presence. West and south.
Yeah. Well, Clay's actually going... Yeah.
Or, pardon me, it's...
Yeah, Market.
It's Market.
Market is the big one.
Yeah, Market's the one I meant to mention, yes.
Mm-hmm. One question regarding the columns, you know, if those are somewhat structurally required, is it also the distance of the column to the face of the building? Is that one of the things that makes it troubling, or is it just...
It makes an awkward public space, set from SEPTED principles. It's also hard to keep clean. Trash tends to get back there. If they're concrete, people tend to draw on them while they're waiting to be picked up by Uber, and it's just nothing really good about from my sense.
From Uber, huh? You're blaming Uber for that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Everyone's blaming them for everything these days. Okay.
So what I'm hearing is, you know, the storefront, the ground floor with added height can look powerful. One of the things that's probably hindering right now are the colonnades, the columns that are probably blocking. Otherwise, the ground floor is looking fairly conducive towards being active. Is that...
The plan looks fine.
Yeah, okay.
Is there no way...
David wanted the...
Oh, you wanted to change the plan?
Oh, well, I mean, just the height.
Just the height of it, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the new plan. I was looking at the old one. But I think that meets the... Does it meet the percent of glass?
Yeah, we're at 50%.
Sorry, I don't have those calculations.
Okay, we do currently.
Generally, it does. I assume the office is glass?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it looks like it does. That's a much better plan. I need to ask you two to step back. Is Simon and Mara still here?
She couldn't stay.
Okay, all right.
Neither can we.
So, Simon, if you come up and share your thoughts, would you give your name and address for the record, and then you have a couple minutes to share your thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you very much. My name is Simon. I'm a resident of the Rosenitzer Tower right next door.
Simon, could you give your last name, too?
I'm sorry. Simon Jaworski.
Okay.
I've lived at the Rosenitzer Tower for several years, and our building is HUD housing. We have a lot of elderly and disabled people. And... So we live right next door to the Tiffany Apartments, we're all pretty much against replacing that beautiful historical building with this 16-story behemoth. You know, one thing we really believe is that it should have a plenty of parking because, you know, it's already a congested neighborhood. There's no place to park for it, and I don't think everybody's going to be riding their bike. Another thing is they would, you know, the building is just way too tall. It would block out the view entirely of the south side for the residents on that side of the building. They'd lose their view. They wouldn't have any light. It'd be very depressing. Many of them are older, so they're used to the older buildings. And the Tiffany Apartments is... you know, they're very historical, built in 1909, and I have a hard time believing that, you know, it'd be more expensive to seismic upgrade than build this 16-story building here. Having students next door to an older crowd, you know, with these students partying all night long would be really disturbing to the neighbors and also to the people in my residence and also the people around the surrounding buildings. I'm the former tenant council president in my building, the Rosenitzer Tower. This building would, it would create a fishbowl effect on our building on the south side, being that, you know, the students staying in this proposed building would just be able to look right onto their balconies and right into their windows because we have big sliding doors. And I don't think that the city council should really be concerned about what pedestrians think because there's a good chance that they don't even live in the neighborhood. I think they should be concerned more about what the people living there think. Residents, we have a lot of residents here with health issues, and all the dust and dirt going on from the construction would definitely affect their respiratory conditions, as well as the construction noises are the loudest early in the morning, and it would be waking us up every morning. I imagine this would probably be about a 2-year project here. It's just way too tall. The building would be, when I was a student, I stayed in a basement apartment. I don't know why all these students, have to have their own brand new apartment, and it was fine. I stayed in a basement apartment in somebody's house. Why can't they do the same? We're a cultural district. And to me, this building looks a lot ugly, and it would really wreck, I feel, the atmosphere of the neighborhood, because we have a lot of older buildings around there. They're all brick buildings, pretty much. You look all on the other side of the freeway, but around our neighborhood, and I think it would really wreck the neighborhood. And I don't understand why. I totally agree with you. Remember saying that the retail space, which is good, they're having, but. It should have higher ceilings. It'd be pretty weird to go into a real retail space with 9-foot ceilings. And, I really don't think that each floor really has to be 14 feet high. That's crazy. Our floors are 8 feet high, and it's plenty enough space. I think the floors are just way too high. They could be shorter, and that would increase, maybe more apartments or more room, too. So, yeah, there's... just many people are concerned about this, and we just think that the design is just completely wrong, and it just wouldn't work out with the neighbors. Other neighbors have expressed concerns too, and from other buildings in that neighborhood, saying that they don't want their views blocked either, and that's what this building would especially do. And also, it would block the view of the newer building.
Can I get you to wrap up? Your time's up.
Yes. Okay. It's just mainly they'd be worried about their views being blocked as well as ours.
All right. So anyone got questions for Simon?
No. So Simon, thank you for testifying.
Yes.
The issues that you mentioned, the fact that there is an historic structure that will be demolished, although it's not on the National Register, it's a lovely old building, parking, height, the program, who will live here,
yes,
the fact that there will be construction,
yes,
and the fact that people who live around here will lose views, those are all issues that we don't have any jurisdiction over. The only issues you mentioned that we as a design commission have jurisdiction over are exterior cladding materials. You mentioned brick as, yes, being appropriate to the context.
Yes.
And then the height of the retail space, how that ground floor functions. So we will definitely talk about those things, and the team is going to be very responsive to those things. But most of the items you mentioned, we don't have any jurisdiction over.
Yes. Well, I think, there was also some mention. I thought those things Hannah mentioned to me might be relevant. But, I was also told about the, keeping the fantasy of the neighborhood, and I just don't feel that building would really, really do it at all, the way it looks,
We wanted to have a strong contextual response.
Yeah, definitely, and... and I also think that it would be nice if, they would consider the local residents, and another thing too is that, it would be nice if all the residents could get mailings of the meetings, because none of them knew this, and I had to go next door, and they had some crummy little sign on the Tiffany building, and I read the information, the meeting time was wrong, and, it'd be nice if all the people in that neighborhood got mailings of these meetings.
So you may be glad to know that the Design Commission and the staff in the Bureau of Development Services who work on design review, we are talking about that very issue right now, about how we can revise how we let people know that there is work planned.
Yes, that would
so
be good.
So that will change.
Yeah, if the sooner the better, And in that case, I really think there should be a second meeting held about this building so that they could have their input about this too, because you're shutting out a lot of important people that live in the neighborhood and, part of that neighborhood that, that aren't being heard and that don't even aren't even aware of the meetings. I had to pass out flyers in my building, but you know, a lot of them didn't see it. You know, some of them got taken down, or you know, they're elderly, they forget too. You know, so that's, you know, I think sending mailings to everybody is important, but I really think there should be a second meeting about this building. There's going to be one about Lloyd Center, second meeting, so that they can all have their views heard, not just in our building, but in their surrounding buildings too.
Okay, thank you, Simon. Appreciate you coming tonight.
Thank you very much for listening.
Okay, once you gentlemen come back up, and you can respond to that if you choose to.
I'd like to respond to a couple issues, mainly the student partying all night concerns. Our client's program includes resident assistants, if you will, that kind of monitor the building and keep.
They've had that problem before there.
Okay. Additionally, floor height clarification, we've got 14 feet.
If you would address the commission, please.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
Additionally, on the ground floor height, we have 14 feet from the main floor level. The retail actually steps down a little bit, so that's going to be a little taller. I know your concern as a commission is the edges that are the pinch points. So we do have taller ceilings in the retail space. Those are my responses.
Okay. All right, very good.
I'll just add one more item. We were approached by the Neighborhood Association. I don't remember which one, but, you know, to present the building, and we actually did do that.
Okay.
There was a modest attendance, so we did present to the neighborhood before this and brought up a lot of these issues.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So do we want to wrap up our comments? I think we had a set of comments. Anyone want to add to those, or? I think just generally stepping up the quality of the design. I don't think anyone has any trouble with the massing, and the height is not a problem per se. And I think it's really going back to the roots of your design, maybe, and trying to find that energy that's there.
So and, more on the articulation.
Yeah, right, okay. Right. I think so.
But you are feeling okay in terms of the massing?
The height, you mean?
Just height, overall height massing, and massing of the building. Yeah height, right. And...
Yeah. I don't think we have much of a problem with that. Yeah, but it needs to be. I think this is a real special little enclave of buildings there, and it just needs to. Don't rely on kind of overused cliches like the slip grid. I think it's time to move on to something much more.
So what I'm hearing from
much
Sam,
more.
Also the more of a punched, regularized punched open, that's more honest. Is that?
I'm not sure that's. I wouldn't you know, put all your eggs in one basket there, or in one grid.
That's an accurate. That's a one commissioner's response. That is accurate.
Yeah. Yes.
Should be considered.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just think at the end of the day, you look at those drawings that you had, and you have to somehow figure out how to translate that energy into the building. I don't know if it works with or without. Maybe there are some things to build. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has told you anything. Don't go there.
To do some good design studies and bring them in next time. You're going to do another DAR, I assume.
No.
I would advise it.
It would probably be beneficial.
I would advise it.
I'm going to recommend you do another DAR, and I also want to make sure we hear a couple things before we walk out of the room today that are really important and why I think you'll need another DAR.
Yeah.
And go into your precedent library and see if you can find some relevant for this.
So,
well, there's some great rules.
Julie,
got some pieces that could generate into appropriate design, but who knows?
Hannah asked specifically about the outdoor amenity space, and there was some conversation about, you know, why it's at the interior and not on the roof. But it would be good to understand if that amenity space at this building, where it does sit in relation to the other amenity spaces, because if it doesn't receive any light and air, and you know it's at the interior of a block surrounded by buildings that are taller than the two stories, and it's fairly low, then it's really not much of an amenity. So at that point, I think I would want to revisit where it lives. You know, how successful is this space going to be? And if it doesn't work well in this location, it's got to move.
It would be really helpful, since your office designed all of the other buildings, to see
yeah.
at least massing models of the entire block.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that space in the center is probably, what is yours, 35 by 30, something like that? And the others are similar size. So there's probably 60 by 60 in the center of the building. That's not a big area. Bigger than the city.
Well, the, yeah.
A lot, I guess. In
the I mean, yeah. What are the heights of the buildings to the south? There's the key, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. They're not short buildings. I mean, they're
no, they're
more than 5 over 1. I mean, they're fairly tall. Yeah.
Yeah. They're on higher ground, too.
So. They're true. Right. Okay.
I'd like to summarize a couple of things so that I can make sure that I heard everything. So I heard concern with party walls, wanting to make sure that the views that are shown are the primary views that
yes.
the public will see, and concerned about the materials and articulation of those exposed end walls. Concerns about the similarity in facade expression to other buildings that have been done, and really wanting to see a lot more carving away of the facade.
I wouldn't say
it's an option.
Yeah, it's an
option. So more articulation.
I think it was linked to their precedent images. That if you're going to use a precedent images, it shows every one of them carving things away, then you're building out a.
Cool.
So one comment is their precedents should match their architecture.
That's good. I didn't get a lot of direction around materiality in terms of brick. Do we just want to see more options, or?
I mentioned brick.
Right.
And so, I mentioned it in concert with the building that's there. Mm-hmm. So the richness, to me, there's a lot of fiber cement. Equitone is a better fiber cement, but there's a lot of it, and it's at the ground floor, which probably isn't appropriate.
Well, and, you know, I would add there was some conversation at the front end about the tall buildings having curtain wall or some other system that is largely glass, and the older, more historic structures are masonry. This building is kind of splitting the difference right now. And so my opinion is it needs to make up its mind about which vocabulary it wants to speak.
But what about brick going so tall?
Well, I don't know if it goes so tall. I just think, they're, you know, maybe it's just at the base. I don't know. But,
sense.
I mean, it could be the bookends of it so that I don't know. But I'm just saying there's a need to step up the material palette.
I agree.
Well, and it's how you articulate the materials.
Yeah, absolutely.
The critical element, actually.
Yeah.
The use of it.
And the equitone doesn't have to be, I think we see this a lot, where people just sort of plaster it on and it's all flat facade.
Right.
And then they just punch in some openings.
Yeah, that's what
I think because you're replacing a building that has so much texture, if you're going to use
equitone. We are looking at, definitely textured equitone and then creating that depth between the panels. So one of the reasons for those lines are so we can create some of those, you know, shadow depths, so there's really more depth to it. So it's not a flat
scale.
Building. Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Or confused.
And I just want to clarify, just so I heard it correctly, too. And this gets kind of more fundamental stuff relative to floor plates and floor plate heights and the perception of the ground floor at the corner. At least the way these are drawn, I mean, we're looking at canopies at 10 feet clear on the uphill sides of this quarter block.
10-6, at least.
Yeah. So I guess my next concern is I want to make sure it's clear that's not going to work. And how do we resolve that? And so is that an issue of resolving, of shrinking the finished floor, finished ceilings throughout the building to get that taller height throughout the ground floor? Or is there an opportunity to work with the first and second floor, the different programs, and express it more proportionally?
That seems like a reasonable alternative.
I know there's a big programmatic discrepancy between what's happening on the ground floor and the second floor, but it does seem as though it's worth taking a look if the second floor can be expressed as a mezzanine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably help.
And then my last... Sorry.
No, I said it was a good idea. You can put another amenity space down there of some sort. But I like that idea.
And then one nuance, and unfortunately, PVOT's not in the room, but I wanted to be clear. PVOT obviously prefers the loading where it's shown on the revise, which is by the streetcar line, which is going to need an adjustment. I just want to make sure you're aware that is smack on center with a catenary pole for the streetcar.
Oops.
And I don't have the dollar figure on that moving, but that will move before the loading dock moves further to the corner. So I think that's something that needs to be nailed down really and priced out, obviously. I don't think it's an easy fix. I don't know that it's prohibitive. I don't know, Sam, I'm looking at you. Have you ever moved one?
That's because it is prohibitive.
So I think that's a significant issue.
And I think it's 350.
Right in the middle, huh? Right there.
Yeah. And where I'm going with that is the loading dock can't shimmy down the street.
Yeah, you can buy a house with some cost.
Okay.
It can't go back to the north?
Probably not. That's a... Well, Peabot may like...
I guess Peabot expressed significant
I mean, that's
concerns because of queuing for people
getting on 26.
Yeah.
It's pretty
bad.
Yeah,
it backs up big time. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Anna.
Wow. That's a tough one.
So there is an availability on June 8th. I'd recommend you ask for it now because it may not be available next week.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Looks like we got some work to do.
We got quite a bit of work to do.
I'm sorry, what? Yes, we are.
And he's out tomorrow.